turn to Romans chapter 6. Been the last couple weeks looking at what will lead into the Ten Commandments. Need to set a foundation concerning the law of God, because there is much misunderstanding concerning the law of God. There's much misapplication amongst God's people concerning the law of God. We've looked at two errors concerning the law. One would be legalism, which we've already covered. The other is antinomianism, which we began to look at last week, and that's basically people that just disregard the law altogether. They don't see a need for it today. We've seen so far concerning antinomianism that the whole error of that is based, the origin of it is it's a hatred for God's authority. That's where it originates. It's also based upon a false notion that, and we, this is just by way of review, we saw last week that the law is an enemy of grace, and that's not so. And we saw that last week. It's also based upon a misconception of God's law. There is no flaw in the law of God. Many people consider in their minds that since the law does not save, there was a flaw in the law. That's not true, because the law was never intended to save. Now, if the law was intended to save and now the law cannot save, then you can say there's a flaw in the law. But it was never intended to save. So there's a misconception upon the character of God's law. Romans 7 declares very plainly, the law is perfect. The law of God is perfect. It's holy. It's just. There's also this antinomianism is based upon a misconception of the purpose of God's law. Again, it's the purpose of God's law is to reveal sin, to reveal man's need of a Savior, to show him the value, the necessity of grace. It manifests and exposes sin. It manifests and exposes corruption and guilt. This is the purpose of God's law. Antinomianism is also based upon a misunderstanding of Scripture, which brings us to Romans 6, verse 14, and this is where we ended last Sunday. Romans 6, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. And notice the next statement, for you're not under the law, but under grace. And that is a verse they will always go to. You can count on it. They're going to go to Romans 6, 14. To do away with the law. So we need to understand what Paul is saying when he says, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Back in Romans chapter 3, if we go there, Romans chapter 3, verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Paul has declared that God's righteousness cannot be attained by the deeds of the law. He then proceeds from Romans 3, verse 20, to to show that man is justified by faith or by grace through faith. Notice verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace. To be justified is to be accepted by God. It is to be declared just before God. And this comes about freely by his grace. The means of attaining it is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom Christ Jesus, God, has sent forth to be a propitiation or a satisfaction, to satisfy God, to satisfy God's law, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That's justification by faith. Since now he's coming to the conclusion of this, where is boasting then? If man is justified by without the deeds of the law, what does man have to boast in? If justification came by performing good works or performing the law, then you and I could say, I kept that law, and we could boast in that. But Paul says, we're not justified by works. So he asks the question, where is boasting then? And notice the next statement. It is excluded. It is done away with. It is put away. There's no room for it. By what law? How is boasting put away? By the law of works? No, because justification doesn't come by works. Nay, but by the law of faith, which comes through grace. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision, the Jew, and how does he do that? By faith. By faith. And uncircumcision, that's the Gentile. How are they saved? Same way. Through faith. Do we then make void the law? Through faith. Since Paul is saying, since it is true that man is not justified by faith, do we then make void the law? Now this is where the antinomianism crowd, that's what they believe. Since we are not justified by faith, we are under grace, we don't have to pay any attention to the thou shalt and the thou shalt not. They don't apply today. That's their thought process. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. God forbid. And then he makes another statement. Yea, we establish the law. We establish the law. What he says there in verse 31 is that this righteousness by faith gives us a new motive for obedience to the law. It doesn't do away with the law, but it gives us motive to obey the law. So I would say, conclude from that, that all of these who are anti-law, it would seem to me that since salvation by grace, faith, does not do away with the law, and these people are against the law, then and that salvation by grace gives us a motivation to keep the law, and since they are anti-law, they have very good reason to examine whether or not they've been saved. We do not make void the law. We establish the law. He goes on in Romans 4 and 5, and he illustrates the truth of what he stated in Romans 3. That is, that justification is not by works, it comes by faith. So if we are not under the law as a ground of justification, then we must be lawless as far... This is what the anti-nomianism crowd thinks. And they're not new. Paul was dealing with them here in these chapters. But the answer to that conclusion is that we must be lawless is God forbid. So that's the context of the book of Romans. Justification by faith. Now we come over to Romans chapter 6, verse 14. We are not under the law, but under grace. Before that, he said that sin should not have dominion over us. Sin should not have dominion over us. Why? Because we're not under the law, we're under grace. The subject there is sin shall not have dominion over us. Sin and the law are connected. You cannot separate the two. There would be no sin were there no law. Sin shall not have dominion over us. So when Paul says we are not under the law, but under grace, he is stating we are not under the law for it as a means of justification, as a means of righteousness before God. It is grace that brings that about, and that gives us the motive not to allow sin to have domination over us. He is not saying you disregard the law. And so antinomianism comes from a gross misunderstanding of Scripture. But again, I reiterate that gross misunderstanding of Scripture has its origin in a hatred for God's authority. Their perception of Scripture would change if they take care of their hatred for the authority of God. And you see, we all by nature have a hatred for the authority of God. So that brings us, again, we're leading into the Ten Commandments. Anti-legalism is a gross error. That is, whether you believe legalism is that you attain righteousness or salvation by works. That's a gross error. It's a very serious error. Antinomianism, there's no need for the law. That brings us to the importance of the law. The importance of the laws of God are stated in numerous ways throughout the Scriptures. If we turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 18, the importance of God's law is seen from the fact that the people were to know the laws of God. As citizens of the United States, as citizens of the state of Michigan, as citizens of Genesee County, we have a responsibility to know the laws. I mean, that's our responsibility. To know the laws of where we live. That's our responsibility. We've heard many, many times, ignorance is no excuse, and that's true. It's our responsibility to know the laws. That is also true when it comes to the laws of God. we have a responsibility to know the laws of God. Notice Exodus 18, verse 16. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and His laws. I do make them know the statutes of God and His laws. That shows that the fact that the people needed to know shows the importance of God's laws. There's a lot of things you and I do not need to know. We don't need to know sports statistics. We don't need to know that. You might enjoy knowing it, but you don't need to know it. You need to know the laws of God. Why? Because the laws of God are more important than sports statistics or any other statistic as far as that goes. It shows the importance of God's laws. Secondly, in the book of Deuteronomy, we see the importance. And again, we're leading into the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are important. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the importance of God's laws is seen from the fact that God's people were to store them in their hearts. In Deuteronomy 6, in verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. It's not just you need to know them. That's true, you do. But it goes further than that. They need to be in your heart. That means they need to be remembered. They need to be engraved in our hearts. That shows the importance of the laws of God. We see also their importance is seen from the fact that they were to teach the commands of God to their children. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently. You do not teach them as a basis of righteousness, because that's not what the laws of God are there for. You can't be made righteous by keeping the law. But thou shalt teach them diligently. Diligently. That expresses importance. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. They were important. He goes on, he says, thou shalt talk of them. When you're sitting around talking with your children, you're to talk to them about what God expects, what God says. A lot of kids' minds are filled with a lot of nonsense, things that aren't important at all. Things will not benefit their life whatsoever. Will not make a difference. But the importance of God's laws. Again, you do not teach them this is what you do to be made righteous, because that's false. That's legalism. You do this and it makes you better than anyone else. That's legalism. You just teach them what God expects. And you do so diligently. When thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Now notice, sittest, walkest, liest, risest up. That covers a whole day. That covers all events. And in all ways of life, the laws of God are to be taught. So that expresses the importance of the laws of God. We see also the importance is seen from the fact that the laws of God were to always be before them. Verse 8 and verse 9. Thou shalt bind them, that is my commandments, for a sign upon thine hand. Why is it that years ago the United States government determined that the Ten Commandments should be taken down from school walls? Because it's not important to them. Because they despise the authority of God. But God says that they need to be before us as a reminder. As a reminder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath. All of these things are to be always before us. Not as a standard of righteousness, but just as to remind us this is what God expects. These are the boundaries of God. Obey these things and your life will be better. So he says here in verse 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. That is, so everywhere you turn, you are reminded these are the laws of God. Everywhere your children turn, they are reminded these are the laws of God. It's a good thing to have Scripture on your walls at home. That's a good thing because you are reminded of that when you look at it. But not only that, when your children look at it, they can't get that out of their mind. They look at it every day. And this shows the importance of the laws of God. It is also seen from the fact that the laws of God were to be publicly read. Publicly read. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31, verse 10. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, the solemnity of the year of release and the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Thou shalt read this law. Gather the people together, men, women, and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear. That they may hear what? The laws of God. That they may learn. The purpose of hearing is to learn. The purpose of learning is that they do something with what they have learned. And fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. He says you do this that their children, which have not known anything, may fear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over to Jordan to possess it. The laws of God were extremely important. God placed over and over importance upon the laws of God. Lastly, in the book of Malachi, we see another reason or another thing that states the importance of God's law. Malachi 4, verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant. Remember it. Don't forget it. Why do we need to remember it? Because it's important. Because it's important. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servants, what I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with statutes and judgments. So as we enter the Ten Commandments, we need to realize that God places great importance on the law. We also need to realize where God places the importance. It's not for a system of righteousness. That's by the grace of God. The laws of God are extremely important. God blesses nations that deem the laws of God as important. Society functions well where the laws of God are deemed as important. Society falls completely apart, and so does everything else, when the laws of God are ignored and not deemed as important. You see, all the politicians, most of them don't even have a plan, but even the ones that have a plan, they miss the whole thing. They really do. Because there's only one thing that'll fix. And that is you've got to start all over at the foundation. And that is the laws of God have to be deemed as important. And I don't think that this country will ever see that happen. I hope I'm wrong. But I don't think that we're ever going to see the day where the laws of God are again esteemed important. I don't think you'll ever see the day where the United States government says we now make it a law that the Ten Commandments be posted everywhere. I don't think I'll ever see that day. I hope I do, but I don't think so. But that's the only thing. There has to get back to the basis. So don't get caught up in all the fluff. Oh, we got to elect this guy. He'll fix the country. Don't be so foolish. You might get a reprieve for 4 years, but that's as good as it's going to get. Unless there is a complete restructure, starting over, it's not going to be fixed. But again, God's laws are important. We need to remember this. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your laws. We thank you, Lord, that in your grace and mercy, knowing our depravity, that you gave us boundaries, that you gave us guidelines by which we can live our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We pray, Lord, that we would always deem the laws, your laws, as important in our lives. We pray, Lord, as we worship you today, that you'd help us. Lord, we are a needy people. Lord, we pray that you would meet our needs this day, that you would meet with us in a mighty way. Lord, that you would reveal yourself to each and every one of us here today. We pray for the lost, that you'd speak to their hearts, that you'd open their hearts to salvation, Lord, today, that you'd save their souls. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.